Welcome and bienvenidos a todos to our football podcast about Mexican women's soccer. I am Eugene Rapinski, and with me as always is Adriana Terrazas. Adriana, it's been so long. How are you?
It's been forever, Eugene. I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. It's been forever since we've recorded. I know you went on vacation. I went on vacation. I apologize to anybody who's listening to this who hasn't been on vacation. You should try it. It's absolutely wonderful. Give yourself a break. You deserve it. But yeah, it's been so long and so much has happened.
And we went to like polar opposites on vacation. I was just thinking about
Yeah.
that.
You went, I don't know if you want to say, but you went someplace really, really cold, and I was sitting on a beach in Florida, so.
Yeah, I went over to Alaska, so it's like opposite ends of the country.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're back finally. Yeah, but definitely, yeah, people just make time for vacation. It's good overall health, just letting go of your phones, all that, all good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's nice to reset. Yeah, there's been a lot that's happened in the soccer world. There's been a lot that's happened in women's soccer, and we will get to some of the stuff that's happened. I'll start this off by just saying it would be foolish of us to try and recap literally everything that's happened in the past month to 2 months. So we're not even going to try and do that. But I wanted to start off by kind of looking forward to this summer because there's going to be a lot going on this summer.
It's going to be hectic. I mean, I can't imagine someone not having activity, whether it's national team level, club level, obviously on the women's side, but also on the men's side. Like, it's just crazy. It's really like, I remember a few years ago when summers were those moments where we actually got to think about, like transfers and the windows and, oh, I'm kind of missing soccer. It's been a few weeks since we've actually had a game. And now it's like the entire opposite. Like regular season is just the easy time. It's just like so, I don't know, it's not hectic at all.
I'm old enough to remember the down times and thinking, man, I really miss soccer. I can't wait for it to come back.
I
And
know.
you don't even get that feeling anymore. It's just it's
No, it's like the
nonstop.
opposite. Yeah, I think it's kind of like you saturate people with like so much activity. It's hard to get back into the league sometimes, but I mean, yeah, I mean, this comes with tournaments being international and just understanding that you can compete with different levels, different countries, different systems. And so, yeah, but this is now normal life, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems like it's only going to get they're only going to add more because that just seems to be the trend. And in some of that more, we're starting to see some really cool women's soccer competitions come up. Finally, official soccer competitions coming up, not just kind of one-off friendlies. This summer they have committed, they being the NWSL and Liga MX Femenil, to holding a summer cup. That sounds super exciting. There's going to be 20 teams. Not all of the Liga MX Femenil teams will participate. I don't remember if all of the NWSL teams or just a few of them are going to be in it, but it seems like the first kind of real concerted effort for these two leagues, two of the preeminent leagues in our region, if not the world, putting something together and really putting some effort into getting club games played. I don't know about you, I am so excited for this. Even though it has kind of been referred to as the Leagues Cup Femenil,
It's bound to happen. Yeah.
but I'm so excited for this because it is the first sort of structured tournament that we're seeing between these two leagues that are rivals, but also so close and almost
Intertwined sometimes.
intertwined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of remembering after the summer of 2021, when we had all those tournaments that were pushed back because of the pandemic. I always remember that was like August 2021. That was when CONCACAF had this press release or this press conference online because we were still kind of taking care of each other because of the pandemic and everything. And that's when they started releasing everything with CONCACAF W and the World Cup qualifiers. And we're going to do so much for the region, and it's going to start to actually grow, and you're going to start to see lots of activity at national team level, but we're also trying to help the local league. So this just seems like one more step in that direction because of all those activities that have taken place after that. I mean, it's, yeah, we had the World Cup qualifiers in Monterrey. We started to see so much more relationship between clubs. We had a World Cup, like in the middle of that, and we started seeing some countries that never participated in a World Cup. So it's kind of like this process and this push that the entire region got after, particularly CONCACAF had like just that initiative, and I don't know, started getting the ball rolling and just making sure that leagues and clubs understand the responsibility of making everything grow.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not gonna lie, I was skeptical it was gonna happen. I mean, how many times had we heard that before?
Oh
That
yeah.
they're oh, we're really gonna do a club tournament. We're really gonna do a club tournament, and nothing ever materialized for, pick a reason out of a hat. So it's good to see that no, this is actually going to go through. They're actually going to hold this tournament. I think the first one is the Summer Cup. So this is the one that has the teams. I think it's six teams from Mexico. The six teams are going to be Tigres, America, Chivas, Monterrey, Pachuca, and Tijuana from Liga MX Femenil. And then from the NWSL, I think it's all of them. It's Angel City, Bay FC, the Red Stars from Chicago, Houston Dash, KC Current, Gotham, North Carolina Courage, the Orlando Pride, Portland Thorns, Racing Louisville, San Diego Wave, Seattle Reign, Utah Royals, and the Washington Spirit. I think that's everybody there. I'm excited. I think it's really good that it's going to be the six of the best teams in Liga MX Femenil, and then all 14 of the NWSL teams. So it's not like it's not like you're going to be sending all of the teams, which some of them would be absolutely just blown out and kind of embarrassed.
Yeah, it's not an that's why it's not an actual League Cup yet. Hopefully it
Yeah.
will be. That would be awesome to get to the point where we could actually have like all teams compete. That would be so amazing. But
Yeah.
yeah, truth be told, we're not quite there yet, but it is amazing just to see like the entire structure, all the organization and just understanding what these teams will bring onto the table. I mean, I'm thinking it's kind of what we were expecting, like some of the teams to learn from like the World Cup, like all those teams that started going for the first time. We obviously thought that anything they did was going to be historical, right? But just understanding how beneficial it is to have that opportunity to go against other teams, understand what they're doing off the field as well as on the field to make them better, to make them grow, to give more opportunities to win the players. So it was, I kind of think it's on that level, just understanding how much there's to gain from a tournament like this.
Yeah, I fail to see many, if any, downsides to doing this. You're putting your teams against different styles, you're forcing them out of their comfort zones to travel, at least for the Liga MX Femenil teams, to travel to the US, to spend time in the US, which gives them chance to connect with markets here, connect with fans here. So like it's just so super cool to see that. I think all of the games are going to be played in the US except for the one game between two Mexican teams. That would be Tigres and Pachuca, and I think that one is at the Uni. Yeah, everything else is going to be held in the US, which is, it's a cool thing for, it's a cool thing for teams to come here and connect with their fan bases here, because as we all know, there are a lot of people who love these teams and show up and support them. So that's super cool. Yeah, that game will actually be at the Uni, July 19th. So this first group stage, the teams are all divided up into, what is it, five different groups, five different groups of four, and those matches kick off July 19th, and the tournament runs through October 25th. So I mean, they're gonna like do the group stages. I think they're gonna go back and play games, and then they'll do like the winners groups and that kind of stuff in
Yeah.
August and then in October. So, but it's baby steps. It's these sorts of small things that really are gonna lay the groundwork. I don't expect everything to go smoothly and perfectly. It's the first time that anything like this has been tried, at least here in North America, or at least maybe not in North America, because Central America does that really well with their tournament. But as far as teams in Mexico and the US, there's going to be some hiccups for sure. But it's so good. It's so good to finally have this to have this happen.
I know I'm really eager just to see players face each other, start new rivalries, get fans, like just giving the opportunity to see so many of these teams who actually haven't had an official game in the US. Maybe I can't really remember if all of them have visited the US already for a friendly. I think they have. But still, I mean, just knowing that this is just the first step in what could be a larger club competition is just amazing. So I'm really eager to see that. Get some of these teams also like midweek activities and just adding to their schedule and not just depend on the actual Liga MX Femenil, but have these other tournaments as well. And it's only good things can come from this, right?
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And if that wasn't enough, we're also talking about the 2024-25. 2025 doesn't even sound real, but 2024-2025 CONCACAF W Champions Cup. This is the more official tournament within the Confederation. As it stands, there's going to be three teams from Mexico, three teams from the US, and I don't think they've announced yet who those teams are going to be or how they're going to be determined. That will be done by the each member association. So like US soccer will somehow determine the three from the US. The FMF will do Mexico. There's also going to be one team each from Panama, Jamaica, Costa Rica, El Salvador, and Canada, which I thought was weird because Canada doesn't have a professional league. I'm not sure if they're going to, if they're just going to take one of the, because they do have women's leagues there that are like amateur or even semi-pro, that are provincial leagues. Like I know they have one in Ontario. I think they've got one in Quebec, and somehow do a playoff with those teams, which would be really interesting. Well, we'll see. But I guess that's not why our listeners are here. They're here to talk about the Mexican teams that are going to be entering. So my understanding is I would imagine that it would be the way that they would pick it would be the last two or the
Lesser tournaments, right?
last two
Yeah.
tournaments, and then
I was
maybe
thinking about that.
the
Yeah. Think
highest
about
the team with the
that.
highest point total over the two semesters. But I don't even know if they've fully determined that yet.
I think that would be probably what's just like the fairest thing to say, just because there's no other way of qualifying or just, yeah, like I like just sending some team just because you decide that's the team that you go, I think would be kind of disrespectful to like the
Yeah.
performances during the tournament. So yeah, I think overall just adding up points for both semesters, I think the great way to actually, it's kind of like a prize, you know, for good performances overall during the entire soccer year. So I think that's probably the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, we always seem to talk about the big four, and since there's only three spots, like
Yeah, I was
you couldn't even
thinking
do it
about that.
that way.
I was like,
Can you imagine? I mean, we're talking about Tigres, Monterrey, Chivas, and America. Can you
I was
imagine?
thinking about that. I was like, oh my God, who's going to be the third? I was trying to add like numbers right now in my head, like, is it Tigres, Monterrey, and who's the third one? Is it America or is it Chivas? Or maybe it's like Tigres, America, and then is it Chivas or Monterrey? I don't know. It's I have to, I'm
Whoever's
eager to see what that'll be. Yeah.
left out is gonna be mad. They're gonna be
I
mad.
They're gonna want that Canadian team spot.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can't even imagine. But I mean I to me that seems like the fairest way to go would just be
Yeah.
the past two winners and then the top points, or maybe they do it the top 3 points over the last two semesters or something like that. There are kind of fair ways to do that. And of course, I'm sure there will be teams who will be upset that they didn't get in it, especially if there's not like a play-in tournament or something like that. So we'll see how it goes. But again, this is another one of those things. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be bumps in the road. But it is
Oh yeah.
such an important step to be taking. We've been clamoring for this for so long because really CONCACAF has been the stumbling block as far as getting a global club World Cup put together. everybody else has these tournaments except for CONCACAF, and now finally CONCACAF is doing something about it. And hopefully this is going to eventually lead to the Club World Cup.
Hopefully, yeah, that would be, I think, again, it's one of those small steps, like looking forward. So hopefully.
Yeah. Anything else on the summer stage? I know there's so much going on this summer. But was there anything else that we wanted that we felt like we wanted to go over that's coming up this summer?
I mean, if anyone has any way of making like this really cool, like overall summer schedule and sharing it like on a Google Drive or something, that would probably be so popular at this point because I can't imagine how we're gonna make that happen. Just like starting off, I'm guessing like you could say you could start off with a Liguilla and then just keep on going with all
Yeah.
the tournaments. And I mean, even if there's no games, but you still have the teams being called up and just activity overall. It's just, oh my God, it's gonna be hectic, but so amazing at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I come back to that. Like we used to be kind of upset when there was downtime and we'd miss soccer and I don't think that's ever going to be a problem ever again.
Oh no.
I guess just try and enjoy it and try and enjoy all of the soccer that's coming our way. I don't know. I'm so excited. I'm so excited just to see how our teams stack up. I guess dumb enough to believe that they're going to go out there and beat everybody they come in contact with, but I get the feeling they're going to surprise a lot of people who
Yeah.
haven't perhaps been paying too close of attention to them. So I'm excited for that. I always love a good surprise, especially when it's the teams that I like that are doing the surprising.
Yeah, I'm really eager to see also like fans getting closer to the teams and maybe seeing some like Borras coming along and just trying to go international, maybe some fans actually traveling over there to see some of the games in the US.
Yeah.
So I'm really eager to see that, like that interaction of the league, like, yeah, taking some baby steps, but growing, just being international. Yeah, getting a sense of what it's like to face other teams and other circumstances as well. So yeah, it's, I'm really happy that this is happening. I'm happy that it's not one of those things where you're like, oh, they promised they were going to do this and they eventually didn't, or it just looks like it's not the best possible scenario, or the scheduling is off, or it just seems as though they're doing this because they have to, that kind of thing. So it seems as though everything is being done with a purpose.
Yeah, and it seems like both leagues in the US and Mexico are really invested into doing it. It would have been really easy to go, I don't know, we'll just pick two teams from each league and we'll put them someplace and we'll have them play and that'll be that. And no, the NWSL I think is sending all of their teams and Liga MX Femenil is sending six of their best and that's cool. Like it's a very good first step, I think. And we'll see how it goes. And maybe it'll be one of those things where we look back in a couple of years and go, man, that was really primitive. But for right now, it seems like this is just like we're living in this wonderful future with this. I don't know.
I'm really eager for it to be a success and for other teams in Liga MX trying to, like starting to kind of complain that they want to be included for the next time, like next time there it's possible. So
They
that
got
would
to
be
step
really
up.
great. Yeah, exactly. They got to step up. So it looks like a win-win situation. Hey, you want to be part of this? You want to go there and make the big bucks? You want to get bigger fans? You want to get like you want to go international? You know what you have to do. Same thing you've been happening, like same thing we've been telling you guys ever since we started off the league. So now you have a another idea of what you need to do just because this is like on your doorstep.
And speaking of our league, speaking of Liga MX Femenil, there's been a lot going on. Like I said, when we started off, it would be sort of foolish to try and recap everything that's happened, but I can let our listeners know where we sit now. So as of right this moment, there are four teams that have clinched playoff berths. Tigres, Pachuca, Rayadas, and America will all be playing in the postseason. We have five teams who will absolutely not be playing. That is Mazatlan, Necaxa, Cruz Azul, San Luis, and Santos Laguna. Are you
Shame
surprised?
on you guys. Shame on you.
Are you surprised by any of these?
I was really eager to see like a better Cruz Azul, to be honest. I was really excited with all the changes they had during the preseason. I thought the changing, like the coaching staff was really experienced. I was going to have a great opportunity of making something really big with Cruz Azul this season. That was a team I was kind of rooting for to be, maybe not make it to Liguilla, but at least complicate things a bit and definitely not be eliminated this early. How about you?
I think Cruz Azul has been a huge disappointment. I'm with you on that. I do, however, think that Necaxa still should be given some credit, because they, of course, the bar was very, very, very low for them, considering their past history. But I mean, they're, 9 points doesn't seem like a lot, but that's as many points as they've gotten in some years. And there's still 3 games for them to play. You know what I mean? So
It could be a bit better, yeah.
there has been some improvement there, which is just, it's so good to think about that, considering what we know that those players went through last year and what the beginning of the season was like,
Oh, yeah.
So am I happy that they have only 9 points? No, but I'm happy that they are going in the right direction when it would have been just really easy. And I don't think anybody would have blamed them if they had a just, like a no win season and, ended up with maybe, 2, 3 points or something like that. And they went on, they got 2 wins, and there's still 3 games left to play. So I'm happy for them, and I hope that I really, really, really hope that they take this and use that as a springboard to build off of.
Yeah, agreed. I think sadly for some of the teams, we're still at a point where we have to compare them against themselves to see if they've grown and not necessarily against the teams that have made it through Liguilla consistently. So yeah, in that case of Necaxa, they're still in the point where they can actually do better than previous seasons. So judge them upon that and not like against Chivas or America or whatever.
And I think, in that league of teams, I think Mazatlan is also there. Mazatlan was not very good last season. They're sitting on 10 points now. Again, that's not great, but considering how bad they've been, that is a step in the right direction. I'm also looking at the table. Puebla still in contention. It would be very difficult. I think, they're most likely going to be eliminated here in the next week or two, but the fact that we're at week 14 and they're still in it, that's for Puebla, that's pretty good,
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, totally.
I'm happy to see some of these teams trending in the right direction. But yeah, like it's disappointing to see Cruz Azul down there. It's disappointing to see Atlas almost there. It's disappointing to see Santos and San Luis down there too, because those are teams that have shown that they, at least at one point had promise and were building pretty decent projects, and it seems like they've, either not advanced or just taken a step backward.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it's still, I mean, it'll come to a point in the postseason where we'll have to look back and then kind of understand the context of how some of these teams were coming into the season, what they did regarding previous season. Again, it's like a case by case basis, overall. But I mean, obviously for the bigger team, for the Tigreses and Monterreys, et cetera, it's a bit different, but still for the other teams, I think we still have to look on it, like just see what they did against themselves. And then understand if there was a step forward or maybe just a step backward this season.
Yeah, for sure. And it's I agree with you. I think it's kind of a shame that we still have to compare some of these teams against themselves. But it's just kind of is the reality of the situation. And I do see that it at least it seems to me that there's less and less of those teams, and we're seeing more and more that now they're kind of standing on their own 2 feet, right? Querétaro, Toluca, they weren't always good, and right now they're outside of the playoff bubble, but they're still in there, and they get a good, they get a couple of results go their way, a couple of teams above them slip up. Juárez is another one. then they can, these are all teams that are on the bubble that can kind of go in that have at one point or another been really bad. So this sort of institutional improvement is in fact possible, and hopefully that serves as a blueprint to some of these other teams.
Yeah, agreed. And talking about like all the improvements, we actually had a big situation or a big event going on today. I think it didn't get as much attention as I thought it would because I actually found that it had just happened like a few hours ago. But for the league, it turns out every 6 months, Liga MX on the men's side has this assembly with all the club owners, and that's where they decide these crazy things like, what are we going to do for Liguilla this season? Are we going to have the play-in system? Are we going to have 12 teams with the possibility of being a champion at the end of the regular season? What are we going to do with Expansión, with the U23s, et cetera? So today we actually had our first official club owners for Liga MX Femenil, which was again another step forward because it means that now officially all decisions made for the Liga MX Femenil are going to be made in an assembly of its own and not within the assembly for the men's side. So really eager to see also some of the club owners participate a bit more because I think this kind of obligates some of them. I mean, hopefully not as many as we'd hope, but I mean, just make sure that everyone is there, is present, can speak for whatever concerns that are clubs, be there because they want to and they want to keep this project growing and not because they have to be there, right? But yeah, this happened today and they also voted Mariana Gutierrez as president of the league. She used to be a director of the league, now she's president. And that also gives her a vote within the assembly. So really great to see again another step forward because it also means I had to take this as a step into making sure that even though all these clubs still depend on their male counterside, it kind of gives them a bit more of autonomy and independence regarding decisions within the actual league, with the system. And I think that's always beneficial. I mean, we've spoken about how we would love for it to be entirely independent from the men's side, right? We remember this when Lobo disappeared because the men's side was relegated, but it was doing pretty well on the women's side. So just making sure that decisions are made on their own, disregarding the fact that it's still the same club, but there's different leagues, I think is a great step forward as well. So hopefully we'll start seeing some more decisions with the assembly. They should have their next assembly in 6 months, same deal as the men's side. But I think it's also a great way of making sure that, again, you have your own decision for your own league.
Yeah, agreed. And that's I'm looking at the points that you sent that were brought up in the assembly, and that was one of them that they're looking to eventually become totally independent of the football varonil, the men's sides, and I think that's good. I don't think a women's team's success or failure should be determined by whether, or I don't think their fate should be determined by the success or failure of their male counterparts. The Lobos example is perfect. Their men's side wasn't able to stay up, and despite their women's side doing fairly well, they too had to go down, and that was not great. Hopefully, eventually, they'll get that kind of uncoupled, and they'll be a little bit more independent of one another. And I get that right now that's not possible. But for them to actually put in writing that that is something that they're working toward, I'm at least willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, well, like, this is the first step of doing this. Obviously, want to see what they do next. But this is a very good first start.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, and they also had some decisions regarding the schedule. So they have the Campeón de Campeones, which will be between the 21st and the 24th of June. So if our summer wasn't hectic enough, we have that going on.
There's gonna be
The
more
tournament.
soccer.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a 24-hour kind of thing. We'll sleep, we'll wake up, and it's like dawn to dusk. It's gonna be like soccer all day long.
Well, you know what this means, right? This means that if we want a break, we're actually gonna have to root for Tigres to win, so there's no actual tournament.
Yes. We'll think about that one. I mean, the other thing is the actual tournament, the Apertura, starts on between the 27th of June and the 1st of July, which I believe is the same as the men, but I'd have to look that up. But I think somehow, somehow, someone thinks that starting off Liga MX Femenil while we're still playing Copa America on the men's side is a good idea. So I'm guessing it's just because there's no other way to make everything happen next semester because there's Leagues Cup and yeah. So yeah, this is happening. Summer Cup, like you were mentioning, starts off on July 19th, and then the final is October 25th. We have the FIFA dates are June, July, October, and December, and then kind of early, but we do have the final for the Apertura on the 22nd and 25th of November. So not quite until December, but I'm always glad that they give players a well-needed rest. So for the winter break. So I'm happy that I have no trouble with that, to be honest.
You know what I just realized? The final the Apertura on the 22nd and 25th of November. The 25th of November is the start of a FIFA date. So that's going to be really interesting to see
Oh yeah, I just
how they
saw
navigate
that.
that.
Oh my God, you might call up players that have been like eliminated for like at least 3 weeks. Like if a team doesn't make it to quarterfinals and you
Or
call up, it just be like a player that hasn't had any activity like for the week, or just someone that just came off of like lifting up like the like trophy.
always gonna say, or it's gonna be a matter of, well, there are two teams that are still playing that can't release their players right now because they are, in fact,
True.
I'm
Because
worried less about the
Tigres, in fact, is still playing the final.
I'm worried less about the teams that have a couple of players that have been sitting around for a couple of weeks than, if it's something like Tigres and Chivas or Tigres and America, all of those players are gonna have decisions to make. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah, after we deal with the summer, let's look into that first.
Yeah, one thing at a time. So it's been so good to get back into this. I promise listeners we're going to make this a little bit more regular going forward. Adriana, any final thoughts this evening before we head out?
I mean, it's just great to be back and just be all nervous and eager and anxious at the same time. Looking forward, but it's always great talking with you, Eugene, and hopefully we'll have some other people get back to us and just, I don't know, enjoy this last part of the league. It'll be really intense as it usually is. And yeah, we just knocking on our door right now.
Yeah, it's been far too long. I'm so happy we were able to carve out some time and do this tonight, Adrian. It's always a pleasure talking with you and having the privilege of recording this and giving it out to our listeners is just a gift. So I'm so happy to be doing this again. Listeners, feel free to hit us up on social media. Let us know if there's something that you want us to talk about in the next episode. And until then, just thanks for listening. Keep up with the content, keep up with the hashtag Liga MX FEMENG, because at the end of the day, it is indeed our football. Thank you all so very much, and we'll see you next time.